Okay, probably the coolest thing ever, ever, ever is that I'm here with Sherry Servey, and I'm so excited that you're here. And I know if anybody was in my position, they would want to ask you like 90,000 things. And I think since we've rodeoed together for such a long time, I'm probably going to miss something. So what, first of all, thank you.
No problem.
And second of all is a lot of people ask me all the time, or you hear them say, and my podcast is not necessarily for horse girls, but I think just people that are trying to pursue something really big that's very hard to achieve, and a world title or an NFR qualification definitely is that. So you are the winningest barrel racer of all time, highest money earner, and that's really, really cool. But I'm trying to let people know how much failure comes with that, because I feel like everybody talks about the winning and I won horse of the year and I won this and I won that award. But like, what does it really take? You know, when the days that people aren't seeing us or we're not doing a photo shoot or all of those things, you can criticize anybody about how they do something. But in the at the end, like, no matter, I think when we were younger, the speculation about you from a spectator's perspective was your parents bought you a lot of things. Blah, blah, blah. Same for me, was that we had really good resources. And most of the time, none of that was true. And all the rumors were complete, not even close to what was actually going on. How much of that do you feel like fed into you kind of wanting to prove people wrong or right, or did it feed into that at all? And how much do you feel like failure attributes to like who you are now as a person?
So I, you know, always wanted to be a barrel racer. I had trouble in the beginning, high school rodeos. I never made the high school finals in the barrel race until I was a senior. You know, struggled, but knew that, that I wanted to be a barrel racer. And, you know, I did have a very good childhood. My parents did everything they can to make it possible for me to do what I wanted to do. But at the end of the day, you can be handed everything, but you still have to want it and you have to work hard. And
yeah, it's never going to make itself. Like, it may make that part of it easier, but it doesn't fast forward any of the other steps.
No, definitely not. And, you know, you never see anybody, like, people don't really highlight when they're not winning or the, all the failures. They're not following you around with a camera. So you only see the good things. And I think that's with any sports out there. And I think that anybody that has got to the top has been at the bottom before. And in the barrel racing world, you can be at the top and tomorrow you can be at the bottom.
Every rodeo. And if you rodeo, let's say you go to 70, 80, 90 rodeos a year. I mean, it's just, it's a roller coaster all year long.
Yeah. I definitely say it is a roller coaster ride and it's a marathon race. You know, I mean, you can be going along, have really good, and you just have to be able, I think at the end of the day, the who wants it bad enough at the end of the year is who gets it, because you have to stick out those hard and tough times. And when you're away from home and you're not winning and you're really want to just go home and kind of regroup, but you stick it out and ride that tough ride out, you know, pays off at the end. And it may not pay off that year. It just, you may have to, you know, struggle for a little bit. But I definitely wouldn't change it for the world. And
I think a lot of people are tired of hearing me say it, so I'm excited to have somebody else say it. But like with my, now that I'm vlogging daily, I have to show the failures, and that's not fun. You know, to be like, I fell off on my head today on this show jumper from 5 feet in the air, you know, it's not fun. But I think that it's important for people to know that, like, and what you and I were talking about earlier today, like, not every prospect that you pull out of the pasture actually is going to make. You know, sometimes you've got to cut your losses and keep going. It's the same way with any goal. You kind of go this direction and you hope for the best, but you, you know, we think we're going to end up in one place and we think we've got it all figured out, but we actually end up kind of over here. Do you feel like, I always tell people, I think it's the pursuit of happiness. Like Abe Lincoln said, it's, I don't think you're just happy. I think you're always pursuing that happiness. Do you find yourself having to figure out new goals? Because like you've kind of, not that you've done it all, but you've kind of hit the very top of what any of us could hope to do in our niche market in barrel racing. What else for you would really get your motor going? Because going, getting through the hard times, you have to just want that thing so bad. And for me, like, I think I got a little soft when I'm in the world, because that thing that I wanted so badly, now I've got it. So it's a little bit like, 6 a.m. slack or 8 a.m. slack where I got to get up at 4 and drive to this place, like, on a colt that I know is not going to win. It's a little tougher for me. What's the goal for you? What's the next thing?
And I think that's very true. For me, I have to have a goal. I have to have a purpose and something to work towards daily. And so, you know, I think, okay, well, what else? Not what else, because you can always better yourself. And that is something that I strive to do. But, you know, maybe getting another young horse and improving them, you know, and giving them a chance to be successful. That's kind of my goal. And like you said, you can go through several and finding those special horses. They are hard to find, and you know, it's fun raising your own horses, but you know, that is kind of what I'm working for now. Going back, you have to pay your dues, you have to, you know, enter those slacks, and you know, you may not have a chance to win, but you still, you have to go through those ups and downs with that horse to give them a chance and to even see. And
so, when is too long?
I haven't figured that out. I think that's, you know, it's, each person is, you know, it's different for some people. You know, only give them a few chances. And, you know, I kind of am one that I'll give them probably more than what they need.
I mean, I'll keep them till they're 25 and tell people, like, I just had it legged up.
Yeah.
If it's just like my horse that I ran at the 95 NFR is still winning, and he's 28 this year. Mm-hmm. And, it's very cool because I'm like, oh, maybe I need to leg him up a little better. You know?
Yeah.
But it's just crazy because you kind of give everything a chance. I think it goes over to, for people that don't ride, kind of relationally, like the people they're around or who they're around. There's different types of people. I'm somewhere in the middle where I'll give them a pretty good long while and then just hoard them up. You know, I just kind of, that's what I do. And then at some point there's a breaking point where I'm like ready to move on to the next thing, but it takes quite a while for me.
Yeah,
for sure. What is the prospect that you're going to mess with this year? What is it bred like?
So I have, she's 8 and she's kind of had some, soundness issues kind of her whole career, but she is actually the last full sister to Stingray.
Oh, very cool.
And,
what do you call her?
Her name's Bernice.
Yes.
And she's solid sorrel.
Yes.
Looks nothing like, and, you know, I mean, like she's such her own individual personality, different than Stingray, but she's so sassy, and I'm really excited, you know, to give her a chance and see.
That's
see
so
what
funny. I can't wait to meet Bernice. So another thing that I think that I tend to do that maybe you do, maybe you don't, is when we look for a prospect, and you and I are shopping in our own pastures. So when we go out there, do you immediately kind of gravitate to the one that, even if it's not color, because we're probably not that point where a lot of people will just pick the same color, same markings of a horse, but when you see something conformationally like Stingray, do you then kind of gravitate toward that one and maybe overlook something else just because it's similar?
I try not to,
right?
You know, I mean, because I in my mind I know that, you know, Stingray was unique and because of just her heart, and so no, you know, I mean, I've rode big horses and I've rode little horses. And
but you're like a freak too. Like you can ride anything. Like Sherry Servey can beat you on a 3-legged elephant. And that's just, everybody knows that. And I was looking at videos of you last week, you and I at the 95 Rodeo Houston and then 96 NFR and watching, and your style has really evolved over time. And I know, back in the day you worked really closely with some trainers. When you work on progressing, do you work on progressing your riding to a different style, or do you work just to stay consistent?
My goal is to stay consistent,
okay,
you know, as a rider. And I don't think that you can ever stop learning from anybody.
Right.
And, you know, I love picking different trainers' brains. And, you know, Dina Kirkpatrick is one of my really good friends.
She's awesome.
You know, go back and forth talking barrel racing. And, you know, I wish I knew what I know now,
yeah,
20 years ago, but that's part of,
right,
you know, learning and trying to be better.
I tell everybody, there's some people that, and when I call you a freak, I don't want anybody to take away from what Sherry is able to accomplish or how good she is. When you're a freak, it just means that maybe you're able to do some things that some of us are not able to do without 10 more years of work. So that does not mean that Sherry's level is unattainable, nor does it mean that Sherry didn't work 10 years on one thing that the rest of us didn't. And that's why people label you this riding freak. It's not, she didn't wake up one day and just ride like that. That's something that she's had to work and hone that craft, and she's just been better at it than the rest of us. So when I look at my riding, and for everybody listening, I have to look at adding new skills. So adding new layers to it so that I'm better balanced or more centered, or working on my fitness, because I tend to be a chunky monkey and I have to like really get down when I'm getting back to competing. Like this summer, I'm going to suck 20 pounds off myself and then go back because I just am able to perform. With you staying consistent, what does that look like? What is consistent for you to be really good at pursuing your goal look like? Is that a 7-day a week thing? Is it a 2-day a week thing? Do you get any rest?
I used to ride 6 days a week, you know, right, all day long. And in the older you get, you kind of, like you said, there's times when you're like,
yeah,
you know, I have other stuff to do. And, you know, I'm trying to work on my youth races and get them going. And so, but being a consistent rider and, you know, giving that horse the opportunity to do his best and ride him to the best of his ability. And, you know, I've always tried to keep in my mind that the horse and I are going to meet in the middle. Like I like a certain style and I want him to feel a certain way, but I may have to change my style up a little bit to, you know, get the best out of him.
Right.
And so, you know,
it's harder for me than you. I ride the ears. So I've got left hand, right hand grip on the ears. So it's a little bit harder. Speaking of your youth races, what do you have coming up?
I'm actually headed to Ceres, California for our youth race. This is, I think, our 10th or 11th year out there doing this youth race. And, you know, super excited. It's so
it's
cool.
Big.
It is big.
It's a big deal.
Yes. Yeah.
I love seeing my helmets there. And thank you for making it okay for people to wear those at your race.
Cause some I actually made it wish weird. That there was, I, after putting on these youth races, I cringe when I see little kids not have helmets.
It should be 18 and under. It really should be. So I'm trying to help with legislation. July 17th. I'm trying to help with legislation for under 18. So I feel you, because I go to the local barrel races and I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So anyway, anybody else you want to mention? Anything else you're working on?
We're just, you know, really busy with that. We've got a whole crew that helps me, you know, daily. And if I start listing names, I will forget one. They're going to be mad. And, you know, just very fortunate to have good people behind me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. So much.
Thank you. All right.
That is it.